All right, beautiful day for baseball, Giants and Marlins. We welcome in Mark Simon. Mark of Sports Info Solutions does a great job, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. And I can't wait to talk baseball with him each Saturday or Sunday on the weekend. Mark, how are you?
Good. Let's do it. Let's talk.
Absolutely. First of all, I always like to get your predictions, and we hold you to them during the year. So give me your division winners in the National League and American League, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. In the National League, not much difference from last year. I think it's all pretty clear-cut as far as division winners go. I think the Dodgers are going to win the NL West by probably about a dozen games. Huh. I think the Brewers are considerably better than anyone else in the Central. And I have the Braves over the Mets in, I guess, what you would call a reasonably close race. So that's kind of my starting point.
All right. Now, where are the Giants in all this? If I look at the numbers that you've put out here, it looks like the Giants and Cardinals could be fighting for that last wild card spot.
Yeah. Yeah, no one noticed on my Twitter that I gave them the same number of wins so that they would be battling for that sixth spot. So I had them as wild cards. I think I had the Mets as a wild card, and I had San Diego as a wild card. I like the Padres from a number of different fronts. I think you saw it the last 2 days with the starting pitching. I like the Mets. I like them more if DeGrom was healthy. I still think they have enough. I think their lineup is a little deeper than people might think, and I think they're going to be pretty good. And, yeah, I have the Giants and the Cardinals basically at that 85-win kind of point where you would figure like a 6 seed would be. I think if things go right, like they did at the end of the game yesterday, then maybe it goes to the Giants. If they don't, then maybe it goes to St. Louis. St. Louis has a very good team defensively in particular.
Yeah, they're good. I like the Cardinals. Let's talk Padres just for a second before we jump over into the American League. You've got the Dodgers over the Brewers, by the way, to get to the World Series. Darvish yep. and Minaya. Darvish, 6 no-hit innings. Minaya, 7 no-hit innings to start the season against Arizona. And according to Elias, I guess it's the first time ever that two starting pitchers have gone that deep, 6 innings or more of no-hit ball. How about that?
Yeah, you stole my note. That was what I was going to bring up. It was an incredible kind of thing. Different kind of game now because you're going to bring in Tim Hill and he's going to blow it both days. Yes. But hey, good for them. Darvish, so you Darvish coming off a year where he had an ERA like 4 and change. That staff, it's funny, like they have guys that could go in a lot of different directions. Like Snell could be like a sub-3 ERA guy. Darvish could be a sub-3 ERA guy. Musgrove could be a sub-3 ERA guy. Minaya could certainly be a low 3s ERA guy. So they have 4 really good ones there that they can have the luxury of being able to trade Paddock. Yeah, I'm impressed with the Padres starting pitching. In fairness, though, it was against what could be is probably the second weakest lineup in the National League with the Diamondbacks.
Who do you have as the weakest, Washington?
No, well, I was going to say the Pirates, actually. The Pirates, I think I put for them, like 59, 60 wins? There was a point where I thought about putting the Pirates for like 55, just because I think they're really going to struggle this year, even with Cabrian Hayes and his new contract. And Brian Reynolds will be gone probably at the deadline, I would imagine.
Yeah, Hayes lasted 10 minutes before he got
hurt. That really was unfortunate because he's so good defensively.
That Charlie Hayes' kid at third base for the Pirates. Mark Simon is with us. Always a pleasure to talk ball with him. Let's talk Mets because I know you're all over the Mets and you listen to the Howie Rose and the broadcast all the time. four players got hit. Lindor and Alfonso got hit high up by Washington the last 2 days. The bench is emptied. Here comes Buck screaming, yelling, coming out. I kind of like what I see with the Mets. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that was very much a move on his part to show the players that he's going to be at the front of the line for them when it comes to anything. That didn't surprise me. That's typical Buck, whether he was with the Yankees, the Rangers, or the Orioles. That's kind of how he functions. It's you and me to the very end of the road as far as we can go. And he's going to stand up for his guys. And they're going to – I'm sure that at some point there will be some sort of consequential actions in the other direction, not endorsing it, just guessing what will happen. Because I think that was the kind of move that will win over like Pete Alonso. It will win over Scherzer, certainly. It'll win over a lot of the players on the team that he came to their defense like that.
Yep. It's going to be a fascinating, fascinating season in the National League, and the Giants get the Mets on this first road trip coming up in about a week or so. Let's talk about today's matchup, and then we'll talk American League and some superlatives after that. Carlos Rodon and Pablo Lopez, these are two good pitchers, and they've got great resumes. They've both been hurt a little bit. Give us some stuff on Lopez and Rodon today.
Sure. So by the StatCast measures, Carlos Rodon had the most effective pitch in baseball last year in terms of, like, value. Like, he threw it a lot. He got a lot of strikes. He got a lot of outs. His fastball is four-seamer, which jumped in velocity from 93 to 95 miles an hour last year. He was able to get it. He was finally able to be healthy for 120 innings. He got from 93 to 95 miles per hour. I think the reason that the fastball was as good as it was because the slider is ridiculous when it's good. The slider is like Gossman's splitter. When it's on, you're not going to touch it. He's going to allow, you know, two or three hits in a game. Could pitch a no-hitter like he did last year. So I think that's impressive for him. Lopez is one of two pitchers on the Marlins who have 4-1 strikeout to walk. A good indicator as to whether or not a pitcher is a legit pitcher is generally 4-1 strikeout to walk. Alcantara was the other Marlin who did that last year. Giants drew walks off him yesterday. I think the Giants have to wait out Lopez, try to wait him out a little bit today. The chase rate for the Giants, very good last year, as we talked about every week. It was good yesterday. Needs to be good again today.
Well, when I look at Rodon, he's got 36 walks, 185 strikeouts, and 132 innings. How about that?
Yeah, he replaces what Gossman was, except instead of the splitter, it's the slider. When he's on, he's unhittable. The question is, are you going to get 100 innings out of him, or are you going to get 150 innings out of him? And you want him healthy at the end of the year. I'll bet he'll get 5 days rest whenever possible. I think they're going to do everything they can to preserve his health because he and Webb are the 1-2. And I think you saw from Webb yesterday that Webb's kind of picking up where he left off, and that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for essentially a match of what Gossman was last year.
Good comparison. 11 stolen bases, no caught stealing against Rodon last year for the White Sox, but who knows what the situations were. The DH is in the National League. Just get your gut reaction. DH National League, how do you feel about it?
I liked when the pitcher hit because I liked the strategy that was involved with that. And I can just remember going to games with my dad for 35, 40 years, you know, talking about, okay, we're getting to the bottom of the order here. What's going to happen? Lefty coming in, they're going to pinch hit. What's going to happen? All that. And you've removed that aspect from the game. Instead, you're going to get more scoring, probably course of the season, 30, 40 more runs as a result of the DH, higher pitcher ERAs, pitchers coming out of games early, potentially games being longer than they already are, which I'm a little uncomfortable about that. I think people will like it because, admittedly, pitchers couldn't hit. There's a part of me that wishes that it had stuck around the pitcher's hitting.
Umpires always make a big difference. Yesterday, I thought Alcantara had trouble with the umpire. They squeezed the heck out of him. What about today for Rodon and Lopez?
So it's fascinating. The umpiring crew, at least that one as it's composed right now, has Alfonso Marquez as the home plate umpire, crew chief yesterday. He has probably the smallest strike zone in baseball. The first base umpire, so the next guy in turn, is Lance Barrett. And Lance Barrett is the opposite of Alfonso Marquez. He has a wide strike zone, wide particularly for a right-handed batter. Like, you're going to see that outside corner extend just a little bit. Joey Bart can pick off a few extra strikes. Stallings could do the same for the Marlins, pick off a few extra strikes on that outside corner. And it's just, it's such a fascinating contrast because he's kind of like, you're not going to want to bring up this memory, he's kind of like Doug Eddings, who was the ump in Game 5, Dodgers-Giants last year, where it was ridiculous. Those two guys, Bill Miller, one or two other guys, have among the biggest strike zones in baseball. I just think it's hilarious that they put him in the rotation after the guy with the smallest.
Very good. Boy, great to talk ball with Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark, very quickly, we only have a minute and a half to go here.
Sure.
Cy Young's for you, and it's always interesting, your picks. They're not the run-of-the-mill picks.
So I will say I took, for MVP, I took Vlad and Freddie Freeman. I said, I'm going to go chalk. I feel confident about these. These are the guys that I think it's going to be. for Cy Young, I never like to do that. I always like to go with, like, the guy. I want to go with the guy that never got votes. So I'm looking for a guy that's, like, going to make the jump. And I'm looking at two guys to make the jump this year and kind of defy maybe what, like, projections and expectations are for them. One is in the National League. It's the Marlins' third starter of all people, Trevor Rogers. Maybe a Rick Porcello kind of Cy Young-esque kind of thing for him, where he's not necessarily the number one in the rotation, but he winds up putting together the numbers over the course of the season. And in the American League, I like Casey Mize from the Tigers. I think a number one pick. I think he saw some very strong positives from him last year. He needs to up the strikeouts, though. He strikes out 7.5 a game, but they're better defensively. Javi Baez was great yesterday. And if the defense makes plays behind him, I think that's going to lower his ERA. I think that's going to put him in contention. So there you go.
I think he pitches today against the White Sox. Yep. White Sox had got a bad break with Giolito going out. Cueto is now a White Sox. What do you think of that as we wrap it up?
Yeah, he's kind of like the end. I think he's kind of at the end of the line. He's the 4 or the 5 or the 6 or the 7. That is a huge loss that'll lose Giolito. And the way they lost the game yesterday, they absolutely positively should not have lost that game. Tigers basically stole one at the end against Liam Hendricks. And hey, good for them. They have a little momentum going into the start of the year.
All right. Great talking with you as always. Look forward to chatting with you next week. Lopez and Rodon today. Mark Simon, a pleasure. Thank you.
Enjoy. Tip.
All right. That is Mark Simon, Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. More coming up. Kerry has got Kyle Haynes coming up next. Farm director, director of player personnel for the Giants. He's put together the 27 Yankees in Eugene. Wait till he explains this one. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.